News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden and former President Trump making separate visits today to the Texas border to discuss the record number of migrant crossings. It comes as a federal judge just blocked a controversial new Texas law set to go into effect next week. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Eagle Pass.
We know that SB 4 was supposed to go into place around March 5th. It's the law that allows local law enforcement, police officers, sheriff's deputies, constables who arrest migrants that they believe that are here in the United States have crossed over illegally. As of right now, a federal judge has ruled that there will be a preliminary injunction in place that keeps SB 4 from actually going into effect on March 5th.
House lawmakers set to take up a temporary spending bill to avert a government shutdown tomorrow, and that would extend funding for just over a week. In Texas, one person is dead and the wildfires burning out of control in the panhandle. The smokehouse fire, now the largest in state history. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's new district boundaries are causing a shakeup in the state legislature. The Journal Sentinel finds a handful of Republican lawmakers will face more Democratic voters. One of the Senate's most powerful Republicans is in a new, more blue district. That's Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Electric buses are becoming more common in Wisconsin. Susan Mudd is an advocate with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She admits charging stations for buses require more infrastructure than for cars.
It definitely requires more equipment, may require transformer upgrades, and that is more costly.
Wisconsin got more than $25 million in federal support 2 years ago to replace 65 diesel school buses with electric ones. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Fire danger conditions remain elevated in southern and western Wisconsin because of ongoing drought and current windy conditions, as well as a lack of plant growth this time of year. 83 wildfires have happened so far in Wisconsin this year. At this time last year, there had only been 7 wildfires across the state. The DNR says to use caution when burning anything outdoors, as it is still dry and the high winds could spread fires quickly. Drought conditions expanded by over 50% in Wisconsin in today's report from the USDA. Now nearly two-thirds of the state is experiencing drought, with severe drought in southwestern and north-central Wisconsin. That's up from about 40% a week ago. Here, the worst drought conditions are roughly south of I-90 and north and west of the Wisconsin River, including most of Richland, Sauk, Vernon, and Crawford counties. Abnormally dry conditions have expanded to nearly 91% of the state. Conditions are now similar to what they were last October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Marquette with another win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The number 5 ranked Marquette Golden Eagles ran away with a 91-69 win over the Providence Friars. Head coach Shaka Smart.
Providence is a very physical team, an aggressive team. Got a little chippy out there at times, but just proud of our guys' effort and connectivity.
Tyler Kolick had to leave the game with a possible oblique injury. The Badgers are back, getting ready to host number 13th ranked Illinois Saturday at noon at the Kohl Center. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-1 loss to the Chicago Cubs. Milwaukee now 1-4 in Cactus League games, but manager Pat Murphy says there are encouraging signs.
There's some great stuff every day. You know, again, we're playing guys that might be in Double A. We're playing guys that might not be with the Brewers. We're not playing to win, and we hope we win. You know, that feels better, but this has no effect. It's about how the guys are playing.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Today we start the climb up the roller coaster that peaks on Sunday. Under sunny skies today, we'll soar to highs in the upper 40s. Winds will become a bit breezy though, gusting out of the south up to 25 miles per hour. As they continue tomorrow too, we'll climb into the 50s. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tune in Thursday for the incomparable Bill Press on the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll find out if there's a governmental shutdown, 4 to 6 p.m.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Sam Davidson, on the board in for an ailing Mr. Zommers. It is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024, 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome to hour number 2 of the big program. As always, big thanks to Pat Kreitlow of Up North News and also Mr. Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. They join us every Wednesday right here on the big show. Sam, Mr. Zommer's out ill. I'm not sure if he needs chicken soup, but we're happy to have you here. Happy to have you.
Glad to be here.
For Wednesday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
All right, feeling good. Fine. There's been no illness, hopefully, spread throughout the Civic Media studios.
No, I haven't really gotten sick this season.
Really?
Yet, hopefully not. But,
knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood.
you're every morning, early morning guy, mm-hmm. along with John and Gordy, the great morning program here at WMDX, our flagship station, and but do other things around the network as well. After you get done with them, you have to go in and into the NASA control room in there.
Yeah, exactly. I watch all the computers doing all their computer magic that runs the whole network.
Does that ever freak you out?
It did at first.
Really?
Yeah. But now that I kind of know what's going on a little bit, it doesn't freak me out as much.
It really is. If you walk into, I call it our NASA control room because there's like three great big screens and then several smaller ones. It looks like a miniature setup of like a NASA launch control. And Sam's in there by himself.
Kinda.
It is. And then you're keeping track of 20 some odd stations.
Mission control. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And you do a fine job of keeping us all in the air. We appreciate that.
Oh, thanks. I try.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you enjoying that? Are you Mr. Zommers is he runs hot, you understand? So he probably is enjoying this cooler weather. Are you somebody who likes it more? Do you like the warmer weather or do you like this weather?
It depends. I mean, I don't like it when it's frigid out, but I also don't like sweating constantly. Like in the studio here, it's I feel a little warm, but when I was outside earlier, I was also, the air hurt my face and that's not fun.
Right? Yeah. I didn't bring my gloves. I walked to get some coffee before the show, like three, four blocks. I'm like, whoa, a little crispy out here this morning. But hey, it is February still, by the way.
Yeah, it hasn't been feeling like it. It's a big swing from yesterday.
It's going to be cold today. And then Brittany Merlot, our forecast, our weather meteorologist, says slowly warming back into the weekend. And I think by the weekend, temperatures in some parts of the state back into the 60s. So crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
By the way, today would normally be the last day of the month, the 28th of February. But tomorrow, it is a leap year, 2024.
That's so a big deal.
We'll talk a little bit later on about leap day and leap year. What does it really mean in this hour? So happy to have Sam along. Mr. Zommers, feel better. Also going to talk a little bit about what's happening out in Washington, D.C. in terms of Ukraine
And also this national reputation of the Trumpster as well, and national reputation of the United States of America. Headlines, you probably heard it if you've been listening to our top of the hour network coverage, but Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the United States Senate, has announced that he is going to step down from his leadership position come November. Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, will step down as GOP leader in November. The Kentucky Republican announced on the Senate floor about an hour ago, marking the end of an era on Capitol Hill and setting a high-stakes race for his successor. He'll continue to serve the U.S. Senate, but will allow, quote, the next generation of leadership, unquote, to take the helm of the Senate Republican caucus. McConnell, who turned 82 last week, said, quote, the end of my contributions are closer than I prefer. Oh, that's a very political way to say that I'm getting old. The end of my contributions are closer than I prefer. McConnell has long been a towering figure in D.C. and has made history over the course of his political tenure. In 2023, McConnell became the longest-serving Senate party leader in history. However, recent months, McConnell has found himself at odds with members of his conference, particularly over the issue of additional U.S. funding for the war in Ukraine. McConnell has a strained relationship with the Republican Party's frontrunner for president, Don Trump. The two have not spoken in more than 3 years. I thought one of the newsy parts of our first hour was Trygve Olsen, who, you know, like myself, but him much more so than me, even though we've left the Republican Party, me in 2011 and he in, I believe, 2016, even though we've been gone, he keeps in contact and kind of these friendships. I know it sounds super weird to people that haven't been in the quote-unquote business of politics, but for some people, working for these schmucks, it's just business. Like they can somehow separate their personal and private lives from their professional lives. I couldn't do that. That's why I left the party. I mean, I couldn't say, oh, this is just a job. Because I'm like, I'm not my immediate boss, but I'm belonging to a party that's trying to suppress people's right to vote. I can't call that a business. I can't say that's my day job, but that's not who I am. I couldn't separate the two. But there are people out there that can. And so this information that Trygve brought us, I thought was very interesting. In the fact that apparently now there have been negotiations going on between McConnell's people and Trump world, trying to convince McConnell to come out and endorse Donald Trump. Of course, we had John Thune from South Dakota, the Republican Senate whip in charge of whipping votes and getting people in line on the Senate Republican side, kind of the right-hand person to Mitch McConnell. John Thune this week came out and endorsed Trump. After, of course, saying before that, you know, he was responsible for the January 6th insurrection. Now he's doing a different dance, John Thune is. So according to Trygve, his sources, that Trump world is trying to get Trump and McConnell to talk, to negotiate McConnell endorsing Trump in 2024. So it's interesting that as McConnell announces he's stepping down from leadership in November, that this would kind of leak out. So could it be that Mitch McConnell is just saying, no way, I'm not going there, and knows that if he doesn't endorse Trump like Trump did in the House and killing the border deal, that Trump may call for us a vote, basically, for the leader's position or the minority leader position on the Republican side. I don't know, but I just find it all very, very interesting. If you'd like to weigh in, would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. You could download it at your Apple or Android device. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It is, as they say, a deal. The Civic Media app. Download yours today. Would love to hear your thoughts on McConnell stepping down. I mean, yes, I mean, he's done a lot of atrocious things, I believe, as leader, particularly on denying Barack Obama's nominee to Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. And also refusing to vote to convict Donald Trump in his impeachment. Those two things stand out to me as two of the worst things that McConnell did as leader. But to Trigvy's point, he is someone who at least worked in the parameters of the institution and was a friend to Joe Biden both personally and to a weird degree politically. I mean, he is out there trying to work with Biden on Ukraine aid, for instance, and say, look, at some point we have to get something done. To Pat Kreitlow's point, I think those kind of negatives are going to be his legacy, not the things that he did, you know, positively, but we shall see. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Also happening in Washington this week, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, there is a bipartisan effort to try to get Ukraine funding through the House this week. And we talked about it yesterday as saying, here's something that's actually good that's happening in Washington. You have Congressman Fitzpatrick, a Republican from Pennsylvania, working with Congressman Goldman, a Democrat from Maine. And they have this bipartisan bill to try to combine that with what's already passed in the Senate on a bipartisan vote to try to get you funding to Ukraine. Last night on TV, former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger from Illinois was speaking out. And again, he's one of two people, he and Liz Cheney, that were on the January 6th bipartisan commission. Here is what Adam Kinzinger said last night on CNN, how he thinks it should be done.
I mean, when he says that he trusts Speaker Johnson, talking about how they met, what Speaker Johnson said to him privately, and he says that he trusts him. I mean, what did you make of that comment?
Well, I hope he's right. Obviously, they had private conversations. I think from what I've heard that Speaker Johnson in his heart would pass Ukraine tomorrow if he could, or tonight if he could. The problem is he doesn't have the political acumen, apparently, to be able to just put it on the floor and say, you know what, Freedom Caucus, you guys want to try to vacate the chair? Fine, do it. And then he can cut a deal with the Democrats to save him if necessary. But then they will build statues to Speaker Johnson in Kyiv. This is the thing is these men and women have an opportunity to be known in history. If just four of them go to Speaker Johnson and say, we're going to shut down all rules, and you know what that is, all action on the floor until you put this Ukraine aid on the floor, he'd do it in a week. Signing the discharge petition, there's ways to get it done. He has to be emboldened by the rank-and-file Republicans to push against the Freedom Caucus, which, by the way, Caitlin, and you covered Congress long enough, the Freedom Caucus pretends like they're concerned about China, for instance. They are absolutely empowering China right now by turning their back on Ukraine, and they never have any intention of confronting China because I served with most of these men and women for a number of years, and they believe in total isolation and do not believe that American strength is worth exercising in any way. So don't let them fool you by saying that the real concern is China because they have no intention of taking on China either.
There you go. Adam Kinzinger last night on Caitlin Collins on CNN. I think he nails it. Right? I mean, it only takes four Republicans with a backbone to say, look, this is what we're doing, Speaker. And if Johnson's concerned about a speakership, like McCarthy was, you go to the Democrats. The Democrats would cut that deal in a heartbeat. Now, there may be a couple of, very left-wing Democrats that don't want to vote for that because they don't want to vote for the aid to Israel. Well, I think it has a chance. And if Johnson would do that, Kinzinger's right. They would build statues in Kyiv to Johnson. Come back, take your phone calls, talk about it. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfein. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on Civic Media. It is now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Hour number two, the fantastic Mr. Sam Davidson sitting in the producer engineer chair. We appreciate it so very much. Doing an outstanding job. Mr. Zommers recovering today. He was out in the town, I think, in Chicago. Maybe that was... No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I understand. He has not been feeling well for a couple of days because of that scratchy stuff going around. And now he has dengue fever, apparently. I don't think he has dengue fever. He has a fever. But we wish him well. We wish him well, and he'll be back soon. But we appreciate Sam Davidson doing a great job here on a Wednesday. Talking about Adam Kinzinger last night on CNN kind of calling out Speaker Mike Johnson, saying, you know, if he had some chutzpah and said to the Freedom Caucus out in Washington, D.C. in the U.S. House, look, you guys can do whatever you want. If you want to try to vacate the chair, go ahead. And then you tell the Democrats, you go to Hakeem Jeffries and you say, look, I'll work with you here. We're going to pass this bipartisan bill. We're going to help get aid to Ukraine, going to help aid to Israel, going to help aid to Taiwan. And yes, we're going to address the border. But of course, we know, because this has come out over the course of several days, the real issue here is that Trump continues to control and call the shots, particularly in the House of Representatives. He's telling Johnson, do not pass this. Do not be helpful, because it could help Joe Biden. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go to Mark in Prayer to Sac. Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, then Johnson should remember his oath to the Constitution, to the people of the United States, not to Donald Trump or Donald Trump's brats that are out there apparently exerting some kind of power right now. Because they should just tell Donald Trump, you're not currently president. You know, Joe Biden is president. I'm currently in Congress. You do not tell us what to do. His fidelity is supposed to be to the Constitution, not to Donald, inserted here, Trump. I mean that, you know, these guys have to develop more of a spine than a hagfish and be a little less slimy than a hagfish that's crawling around on the bottom of the ocean.
Right. That,
It is just, and maybe people need to look that up and see, you know, because those things, they have very little in terms of a spine and they generate slime. But these guys need to stand up to Donald Trump. I mean, that the gutlessness that they're showing here, not standing up to Donald Trump, you know, that it is just shocking to me. I mean, that their base should understand that we are loyalty to you, not to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not the United States. Donald Trump is Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's cared nothing for the United States. He's cared about himself, pure and simple.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. And again, I find it remarkable that we don't have more Republicans willing to stand. I mean, it only takes four, right? I mean, you think of a guy like Mike Gallagher in Green Bay, who's already announced he's not going to run again. I mean, what has he got to lose, right?
Nothing. I mean, that it would actually show courage. I mean, political courage, yeah, to actually stand up to Donald Trump. And it shouldn't take that much courage. Donald Trump is a confirmed draft dodger and hasn't done nothing in his life of benefit to anybody aside from himself.
Right. Unfortunately, I mean, I kind of know the answer to my own question is that I have no idea what Congressman Gallagher's plans are. But I know that some of these people that have announced retirement, and there's a record number of them,
you know, they hope to go into lobbying or hope to go into corporate jobs that are more on the conservative side. So I suppose they don't want to be seen as, you know, ruining their potential for big money in the private sector post-Congress. I'm not saying that's Gallagher's case, but I think that's some of the cases.
Well, then it goes to show what kind of what their character is. I mean, their character is supposed to be loyalty to the United States.
Right.
You know, when they chose to run for public office like that, they chose to set aside some of their personal ambition for service to the United States. Unless they can suck it up and practice that, then they got no business being in public office or even being a lobbyist.
I mean, right.
It is just ridiculous that they expect this kind of thing to go on for the rest of their life because they apparently were in office for a little bit of time and serviced a man like Donald Trump.
Yep. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mark. Always a pleasure. Mark from the SAC, if you'd like to weigh in, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Speaking of Trump, and again, I know for some people, it's a while you say, well, it's not that big of a deal. But for a lot of people, it is. And that is our standing in the world, that the United States standing in the world amongst foreign leaders, foreign governments. Because remember, although the United States is one of not the most powerful country in the world, we require our allies around the world. Australia, for instance, is one that's very important, particularly in the Pacific theater. We talk about Taiwan, talk about China, talk about North and South Korea. So here, this past week, is the former Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, who has been an ally and a friend of the United States for a long time. Here was Malcolm Turnbull, the former Australian Prime Minister, with his candid remarks on Donald Trump and what he has done to the reputation of the U.S. when he was in office.
When you see Trump with Putin, as I have on a few occasions, he's like the 12-year-old boy that goes to high school and meets the captain of the football team. My hero. It is really creepy. It's really creepy.
Now, and that struck you at the time?
Oh, absolutely. It struck everybody. It was like you could touch it. It was creepy. The creepiness was palpable.
Are you trying to say they're having a bromance?
No, I'm not saying. I'm just telling you what I saw. Regrettably, the Republican Party under Donald Trump, and particularly the right wing of the Republican Party, are very sympathetic to Vladimir Putin. I mean, I've been with Trump and Putin. Trump is in awe of Putin. Tyrants are often popular. You see, the key to democracy, liberal democracy, is that it empowers the majority, but it also, through the rule of law, constrains the majority. And if you get to the point where anybody who can muster a majority, and I don't think Trump can do that, by the way, but anyone who can muster a majority is given absolute power and then can do whatever they like to the minority, that's not a democracy. That is a tyranny. That is an autocracy, even if it's got the support of 51% of the population. That is not what makes a democracy. A democracy, as we understand it, is one where the rule of law protects all citizens and the rule of law applies to all citizens, whether they're the president or the prime minister or an ordinary, elector.
There you go. A little TikTok for you at the end there. How about that? I thought that was so well said. And isn't it fascinating that the former prime minister of Australia can better articulate what democracies are better than some of our elected officials here in the United States, where we like to think that we're the cradle of democracy. And in many ways we are. But that's under threat right now. And here's a guy who has been in the private rooms with Trump and Putin together. Wasn't it interesting how he said just creepy? Like creepy, like you could feel it. Like a middle schooler going in and meeting the star high school football, you know, quarterback. That's what Trump thinks of Putin. He idolizes him. Come back. Talk about driving in Milwaukee. Where is the worst drivers? Where are the worst drivers in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Elball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up on Friday on Matt Nair on Air 1033, we recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I hope you can join us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A conservative law firm is asking the universities of Wisconsin to end their race-based awards and fellowships. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty claims the Board of Regents 2024 Diversity Awards are unconstitutional because they leave some students out. Will says the UW is ignoring a U.S. Supreme Court ruling to end race-based programs. The search for a missing 3-year-old boy from Two Rivers is in its second week. Elijah Vu's grandmother made an emotional plea at a press conference Tuesday.
I want everybody to continue to help us to look for my grandson.
The police chief in Two Rivers says he's very concerned that Elijah Vu has been missing for this long. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Fire danger conditions remain elevated in southern and western Wisconsin because of ongoing drought and current windy conditions, as well as a lack of plant growth this time of year. 83 wildfires have happened so far in Wisconsin this year. At this time last year, there had only been 7 wildfires across the state. The DNR says to use caution when burning anything outdoors, as it is still dry and the high winds could spread fires quickly. Drought conditions expanded by over 50% in Wisconsin in today's report from the USDA. Now nearly two-thirds of the state is experiencing drought, with severe drought in southwestern and north-central Wisconsin. That's up from about 40% a week ago. Here, the worst drought conditions are roughly south of I-90 and north and west of the Wisconsin River, including most of Richland, Sauk, Vernon, and Crawford counties. Abnormally dry conditions have expanded to nearly 91% of the state. Conditions are now similar to what they were last October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on News from the Center, 107.7 FM WRCE. With a 60-second showbiz beat. In an appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast, trust fund kid Robert James Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, cleared the air about his feud with Bud Light after the company used Dylan Mulvaney, a trans influencer, in a Bud Light ad. Rogan asked the tough question, what's it like being the dude that took out Bud Light? Robert James says he was just having fun when he fired a gun at several cases of Bud Light, none of which were armed and therefore not fighting back. Gutsy. It kind of bothers me that I like the song Picture. If you can't get enough Taylor and Travis, be sure to check out TMZ's special, Taylor and Travis, The Ultimate Love Story. The New York Post reports that Dr. Phil weighs in on the famous couple's relationship, surmising that if they don't take time out from their busy schedules to spend time together, it could harm their relationship. So basically, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's relationship has the same issues every couple raising 3 kids and working multiple jobs has. Brilliant insights, Doctor. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Today, we start the climb up the roller coaster that peaks on Sunday. Under sunny skies today, we'll soar to highs in the upper 40s. Winds will become a bit breezy, though, gusting out of the south up to 25 miles per hour. As they continue tomorrow, too, we'll climb into the 50s. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Join Wisconsin women's basketball at the Kohl Center on January 27th at 2 p.m. to celebrate National Girls and Women in Sports Day, presented by Kohl's. The festivities start early with interactive kids' activities, a special halftime panel, and a 50th season lapel pin giveaway while supplies last. For more information on our National Girls and Women in Sports Day celebration on January 27th and to purchase women's basketball tickets, visit UWBadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's UWBadgers.com.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on Civics Media's radio network. It is 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. Sam Davidson filling in for Mr. Zahmer. Is always glad to have Sam along. Glad to have you along as well on a Wednesday where it's sunny but chilly. High is today only the 20s. Probably going to be below freezing in a lot of places. But then by the weekend, what they're saying is short weather again. 60s for the highs this weekend. This is a little bizarre here. If you'd like to join the program, always happy to have you along. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, thanks for calling back. What say you?
Sorry, Todd. I forgot to tell you about the whole thing about the Trump and Trumpists and people who support and turn around and being beaten and lost. You see, it reminds, because I'm from healthcare, right? Reminds me that a lot of people do very similar thing knowingly, having unprotected sex with a syphilitic and thinking that you're not going to get infected.
Mm-hmm.
That's exact same logic.
Right.
You know. That's just exactly the same thing.
you have a point, and you work in healthcare. I mean, you should know. But I mean, if you're gonna dabble out in the field, sometimes things happen.
Protect yourself.
Exactly. Protect yourself with knowledge and vote wisely and vote smartly, right, Karina?
And tools, right. Knowledge and tools.
Always a pleasure.
Knowingly going for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Karina in Milwaukee. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I thought that was fascinating before the break to hear from former Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull saying that he's been in the room with Putin and Trump together. And it's creepy that Trump just idolizes him. So anyway, thought that was very, very, very interesting indeed. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Wanted to get to this. I thought this was fascinating. Would be interested in people's thoughts on this. Because in this journey that we are on together throughout the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere to understand one another better, I think it's good to pause and reflect, as my former teacher Andy Spies is fond of saying, and say, okay, let me just put myself in the other person's shoes for a moment. And whether I agree with it or anyone else, I think we have to acknowledge how people feel. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them, but how people feel. And so Alexander Hinton, a professor of anthropology at Rutgers, attended the recent Conservative Political Action Conference, better known as CPAC, last weekend. And we've been playing some cuts of that, and some of this stuff is pretty bizarre. One of the guys there, of course, who played the cut, said this, welcome to the end of democracy. And said, we're going to replace it with this. And he held up, either a crucifix or a necklace with a cross on it. And just flat out said, we're going to have a theocracy, not a democracy. I mean, he didn't say those words, to be clear. He said that, welcome to the end of democracy. We're going to replace it with this. And he held up a cross. So that's some of the things coming out of this CPAC conference. Now, Hinton's purpose to go there was to gain an understanding of what's in the heart of Trump's base, the MAGA faithful. Again, we're not talking necessarily about the everyday run-of-the-mill Republican. We're talking about the mega base. And Hinton wrote a nice piece that was published in The Conversation a couple of days ago, February 26. Hinton wrote, quote, those on the left who dismiss the CPAC as a gathering of mega crazies and racists who support a wannabe dictator do not understand that
from this far-right perspective, there are compelling and urgent reasons to support Trump. And again, let me stop here for a second. This is just to say, instead of just throwing bombs, word bombs, and calling people names, let's try to understand that. And from the other side, there are people that truly believe there's an urgent need to support Trump. Back to the article. They think that the left's claims about Trump's authoritarianism are laughable because they falsely perceive President Joe Biden as the one who's attacking democracy, end quote. So they literally believe this. They believe that Biden is the one who's a threat to democracy, not Trump. Ronald Reagan, of course, spoke at 12 CPACs, including the first one, held 50 years ago this year. Reagan, of course, was folksy, used good humor to poke fun at his critics, self-deprecation. And Reagan viewed America as exceptional, a shining city on a hill. So the thing about Reagan, as someone who grew up in that time, he was always positive, always looking forward, always calling on us Americans to lead the way in the world. That now has all been supplanted by Trump's narrative of America in apocalyptic decline. Anyway, the end of the world. That's the word. That's what I'm trying to say. The mega message is fury, grievance, and mean-spirited barbs. You ever notice that? I mean, so how many clips do we play with Trump talking about the greatness of America? I literally can't remember. At this year's CPAC, Trump and other speakers voiced support for white nationalism and right-wing extremism. Some speakers promoted the false idea that there was a plot to replace the white population, this white replacement theory it's called, or Project 2025. That is false. Fear and hatred of non-whites is most pronounced in anti-immigrant rhetoric. Now, Professor Hinton wrote that, quote, CPAC's hardcore conservative Christian orientation is anti-abortion rights, homophobic, and oriented toward traditional family structure and what it considers morality. As he stated, quote, at CPAC, Trump is viewed as America's savior, unquote. That's what they believe. MAGA believers may acknowledge that some of Trump's comments about women and minorities are cringeworthy, but not evidence of an underlying misogyny and hatefulness. Instead, they focus on Joe Biden as the leader of quote-unquote evil forces. They are outraged at the desecrators who stole the 2020 election, of course, not true, and are now the cause of America in decline. MAGA believers also focus on their grievances, including social media bans, fake news, quote unquote, takedowns, rigged voting in their terms, bogus lawsuits, and unfair justice in their terms. To the MAGA gang, Trump is the hero and the last best hope to save the United States of America. That's the MAGA view. And I think I appreciate the fact that Professor Hinton wrote this and it was published in The Conversation, because it gets to trying to understand one another. Again, I don't agree with that viewpoint in the least, but to not acknowledge that it exists, I think is dangerous. I know people, not close friends, but people that I know. The things I just wrote, they believe that. And people say, well, Todd, how do you talk to them? How do you get through to them? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to before the 2024 election. What I do think is there are people voting in Republican primaries or general election for their state representative or their sheriff or the register of deeds who vote Republican but don't believe the things I just read. That don't believe in that kind of white nationalistic hate. They don't buy that. And again, last night in Michigan, we saw that
30% of Republican voters don't believe that either in Michigan. Same thing in South Carolina, same thing in New Hampshire, same thing in Iowa. There is anywhere between 20, 25% of the Republican base in this country who does not buy in to what I just read about the mega base. And those are the people that we have to uplift and support, in my opinion, and create a coalition. Trygve Olson talks about this all the time. We don't all have to agree on every policy aspect. We don't have to agree on every nuance. But the one thing that we can build a coalition around in 2024 is democracy worth saving. I would say yes. And if we agree on that, and we look at the two candidates before us, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, there is only one who believes in continuing democracy in this country as we know it, representative democracy, and that's Joe Biden. As Liz Cheney has said, America can survive bad policies, her opinion, not mine. But what we can't survive, according to Liz Cheney, former Republican congresswoman, is an attack on the foundations of the Constitution of the United States of America. And that's why we have to work together to reach across the aisle, to reach across our neighbor, and say, look, it's okay that we might disagree on this, this, and this. But can we just agree we're going to work together to save democracy in the fall and rally around Joe Biden, even though he might be imperfect in your view? We can rally around that. We can save democracy, and we could work out the rest on the other side of the election. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Green Bay. Stephen, Green Bay called back. Stephen, what say you?
Hey, Todd. So I have a couple things. First of all, it's pretty sad when a prime minister of a different country gets what democracy is supposed to look like better than the elected officials that are in our own office. And we're supposed to be the example for the world of what democracy looks like and how it's supposed to function. I don't think so, not, at least not right now. Also, there's an old expression, and that expression is, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Well, for the Trump people, it's all fun and games until he gets reelected, and you realize that all the things that you're dismissing that he's saying are in fact true and that he means them. But by that time, it's going to be way too late. He's already going to be in office. People need to wake up and smell the roses, if you will, and realize that this guy is it's not just a metaphor. It's not just something the left is saying to scare you out of voting for a candidate. He is seriously dangerous.
Yeah.
And when a prime minister of a different country says, it's creepy how close he is with this tyrant of a different country, I don't know about you, but that scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
That he would even be able to get close to the presidency again.
Yeah, I think it's well said, Stephen. And again, I mean, you know, this guy, Malcolm Turnbull, former prime minister of Australia, respected around the world and knows what he's talking about. So you're right. When he says that I've seen this up close and personal and it's creepy, I believe him. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. Off the text line, we have Mark checking in. Pardon me, Dave in New Berlin, first of all, says, I agree with Mark. Let's go to Mark's comment first up here. First of all, I guess that's what he had called in earlier. And said, I agree with Mark. It's like Donald Trump has serious, quote-unquote, blackmail material on everybody. That was Dave in New Berlin checking in. Also, Angie from Monroe says, I believe that in some of these red states, there's going to be a Republican woman that suffer because we're Republican women who suffer because of this abortion ban, and that alone will change their minds. And now they got this IVF thing as well, unquote. Angie checking in from Monroe. Yeah, I mean, I keep, you know, certainly there are other issues out there, but I believe that the Dobbs decision and now IVF is going to make a big difference in vitro fertilization, this Supreme Court ruling in Alabama. And isn't it funny, not funny, interesting, how Trump and these other Republicans now are suddenly getting religion on IVF and saying that they support it. Well, the rubber is going to meet the road this week. As soon as today, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois is going to offer a bill on the floor of the United States Senate to keep IVF legal. Let's look at how many U.S. senators on the Republican side vote in favor of that. That will tell us a lot. Come back on more with more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
News from the center, WRCE.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season, and since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by Black actors. The first Black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from national news, weather, and sports. And then Maggie Dawn takes over these airwaves, the Maggie Dawn Show, now every afternoon between 2 and 4 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome Maggie to the afternoon and encourage you to stick around for her show on a lovely Wednesday afternoon. Talking about kind of the heart of the mega voter before the break there, and also about this reputation of Trump and Putin, according to the former Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull, who said he's been in the room with the two of them. And it's creepy the way that Trump adores Putin. Also, side note there, Sam. We'll get to that in a second. Let's go to the phone first of all. Let's go to Cindy in Appleton, 844-967-2789. Cindy in Appleton, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Well, I have a comment and a question, and my comment is the in vitro fertilization, I think, is kind of a rich man's game. So I don't think that's going to affect nearly as many people as the abortion issue does. But my question is, where did this nonsense you're talking about come from? Because it had to started somewhere, that Trump is the savior. I mean, where in God's name did that start? Did the devil come up from underneath the ground or what? I'm just wondering how this started.
I appreciate the question. This has been brewing for a while, right? I mean, it's this very, to me, as a person of faith who grew up in the United Methodist Church, it's quite frankly sickening and extraordinarily sad to see this perversion of Christianity on the far extreme right, this right white nationalist Christian, be merged with right-wing politics. And a lot of what's happening is you have predominantly in the South, but not exclusively, you have white people who are truly afraid that they're no longer going to be the majority race in this country, which, by the way, is inevitable. Sure. That's just the way it's going to happen. Because of the way, you know, how many people of non-white ethnicity are having babies compared to all white. So the face of America literally is going to change. That is inevitable. And so you'll have white people who don't want to accept the inevitable and feel that their quote unquote culture is disappearing. And so that merges with this far right white Christian nationalism that says basically, God intended America to be white, and they have pictures of a white Jesus in their churches. By the way, FYI, Jesus was brown, and so they think that they somehow get this all misconstrued that God has ordained Trump to save their white culture, and they believe this, and then they merge that with the political and saying that anything that's you know, different from that must be from the devil. I mean, that's essentially what they believe.
Scary.
Yeah. And again, I want to be very careful. That is not all Republicans by a long shot, but that is this, you know, 25% base of the Republican Party. This is now, it's not Republican, it's MAGA. right? It's the mega base. Yeah. And so they feel threatened, Cindy. And again, it goes back to what I say, you know, the more we can meet people who are different from us, a lot of people say, oh, I don't know a gay person. Well, chances are you probably do. They might just not be out. Or maybe they've lived in a part of Wisconsin where they don't have any neighbors of a different race or a different ethnicity. They're all white. And so they don't understand. So the more we can talk to each other and listen, more importantly, listen to one another and find out that we're more alike than different, I think that breaks down barriers and it makes people less afraid. And then you don't buy into this mega crap. That's my thought.
Yeah, well, not only was Jesus Christ brown, he was a bleeding heart liberal.
Well, I'm not sure they had political parties, but yes, I get your point. He believed in taking care of the, he preached, humanitarian love to each other. Yes, absolutely. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Cindy. 844-967-2789, Wisco Paul. Always a pleasure, Wisco. Thanks for calling in. We'll see you.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. What a difference a day makes. It's kind of cold over here in Madison. Yeah. Oh, well, that's, I guess it's the weather. In Wisconsin, it changes minute to minute.
Hey, exactly right.
thanks for the heads up on the comments from the Prime Minister of Australia. That actually is beyond spooky.
Right.
But I really don't see a path forward for Trump. Because he's not going to change. But here's a quick one. Biden's supposed to go down to the border. If somehow he can figure out a way to fix that, then I can't see Trump winning no way, no how. So comment if you will. Thanks, Todd.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Always appreciate it, Wisco. Thank you for calling 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. So what Wisco's talking about, and this is one of those kind of ironic, strange things that happen in politics, that the president announced this week, President Biden, pardon me, that he was making a trip down to the border. And I believe he's going to the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas. Well, it turns out that the Trumpster is also going to the border, another place about 100, 200 miles away in Texas. They're going to be there the same day, tomorrow. And to Wisco Paul's point that immigration is one of the top issues with a lot of voters, including Republican voters, independent voters right now, in part because of a lot of misinformation on immigration as well. But what Wisco is talking about is, of course, there is a bipartisan deal that passed in the Senate that would address the most conservative, strongest border measure in 30 years. And as somebody who worked for a member of the United States House of Representatives, and I worked in immigration, this has been something that neither party has been able to accomplish in over 30 years, a true overhaul of the way that we handle immigration and immigration policy in this country and abroad. So Congress has a chance to pass this. It's passed the Senate. They're trying to get it through the House. Speaker Johnson in the House has said no way, and Trump has admitted on the record in speeches in public, taking credit, that he killed it solely for political purposes because he does not want to give Joe Biden the win. So to Wisco's point, I'm not sure if visiting the border will make all the difference in the world, but I think more importantly, if you could have 3-4 Republican members of the House who have the backbone that force Johnson on threat of vacating the chair to take this up. I think if you put the Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, U.S. border bill on the floor of the House, I think it passes. Somebody has to stand up to Trump. And I think Wisco's right. If there is a strong measure of immigration reform that passes, that takes away one of the huge issues politically for Trump or Republicans this fall. We shall see what happens. But yeah, great insight there from Wisco. Thank you very much to Pat Kreitlow. Thank you to Trigvi Olson. Thank you to Sam Davidson, doing a great job filling in on the border. Mr. Zomers, feel better. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you all for listening, for watching. Until then, keep fighting, but keep banging your drum.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Thursday on Nightlight, I'm joined by author Brett Kissinger and Wisconsin Area Music Industry Vice President Ron Books. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House lawmakers passed a stopgap measure to avert a government shutdown tomorrow.
The yeas are 320, the nays are...